Half the nation's fruits and vegetables are grown in California. It's the leading agricultural state, with a farming industry worth at least $25 billion a year. The climate in California is one major reason for that success. Research and training is another. In part two of a series on California, NPR's Ina Jaffe reports on the state's leading agricultural college, the University of California, Davis.
Take a stroll on the UC Davis campus, and you will eventually see, and sometimes smell, what distinguishes this place from many other leafy seats of higher learning. Campus historian Ann Shearing is the tour guide.
This is the cyclotron. This is the physics and geology building. And we are coming right up on the old hog barn, which was built about 1912.
The hogs were only recently moved to new quarters across the road, but there are still cows kept nearby. A reminder, says Shearing, that UC Davis started out as the campus farm for the ag school at Berkeley, about 80 miles to the southwest. And for the first couple of decades, she says, the focus here was on livestock.
The dairy industry actually took off in the 1890s tremendously in California, and it was the agitation of the dairy industry for a state dairy school that actually brought about the university farm, which became UC Davis.
The state still has a big dairy industry. It's the nation's number one milk producer. These days, however, California is better known for the roughly 250 different crops that are raised here. And in some commodities, California has virtually no domestic competition, producing 90% of the grapes, 99% of the artichokes, 100% of the almonds, and nearly 85% of the country's strawberries.
Let's go down to the bottom of the field here.
Professor Doug Shaw invents strawberries. This two-acre field on the central coast near Santa Cruz is where he tests his works in progress. It looks rather festive, with rows of silver streamers snapping in the wind. They're actually there to scare the birds away from the 400 experimental varieties of strawberries growing in raised beds of earth. The mounded dirt is covered with plastic tarp to keep the roots warm. It makes the plants look like decorative centerpieces on long tablecloths, with their tiny white flowers set against dark green leaves and sprays of berries, each one the size of a toddler's fist. Shaw expects a lot from these little plants.
It's a balancing act. We have to have a certain minimum level of productivity and fruit size. We have to have certain minimum levels of fruit quality, pest and disease resistance. And so we weigh their advantages and disadvantages and get the opinions of the growers that will eventually use them. And if it looks like it'll be something useful for the California industry, we'll release it.
About two-thirds of the strawberries grown in the United States are varieties developed by UC Davis researchers. Doug Shaw and his predecessors have also invented some pretty complex methods of growing the fruit. Yields and profits have increased dramatically.
We can get harvest seasons that last 7, 8, 9 months. A good season in upstate New York might last 3 or 4 weeks.
Strawberries are still seen as a treat, if no longer a luxury confined to a few weeks of summer. But UC Davis researchers have also devoted as much attention to the mundane foodstuffs of everyday life, like ketchup and pizza sauce. 95% of the tomatoes used in these processed foods are grown in California. And that's largely because of an innovation made at UC Davis, popularly known as the square tomato.
They're not really square. They're sort of intermediate between square and round.
Roger Chatelet is head of the Tomato Genetics Resource Center.
They have some ridges on them, or shoulders, that give them a little bit greater firmness, but they're not square.
That shape, whatever it is, was one of the qualities bred into processing tomatoes in the 1950s to make it possible to harvest them by machine, a machine that was also invented by a UC Davis professor. It was criticized at the time for taking away jobs. However, growers contended that labor was in short supply and the tomato processing business was in peril. They wanted a machine-friendly tomato, so the new breed was put through the appropriate tests, says Chatelet.
They would take fruit and drop them from a height of, 3 to 6 feet, and if they squished when they hit the ground, they were too soft, and if they bounced and didn't get bruised, they were firm enough.
Agricultural research has become considerably more complex over the decades.
And that's part of the polyphasic taxonomy, where you end up with taking DNA-RNA approaches puts you in conflict with historical phenotypic approaches.
Can you tell this man is talking about wine? David Mills teaches microbiology in the Department of Viticulture and Enology. these days the most famous department in the college. Since 1980, the size of the California wine industry has more than doubled, with $13 billion in sales last year. And most of the people making all that wine have been trained in the classrooms and vineyards of UC Davis.
We're going to break out, sort of open the vine a bit, start breaking out the shoots, look for the secondary buds that push, take those out too.
Viticulture professor Andy Walker instructs about 40 of California's future winemakers. They don't look very glamorous, sweating in the sun and ripping excess branches from the vines.
A lot of them won't be working with vines in their future careers, but they understand how they function and work in this class, and that's good for whatever they're going to be doing.
Each year, more and more of California has been planted in grapes. But overall, farm acreage in the state has declined. There are now 10 million fewer acres devoted to agriculture than in the 1950s. Most of that land's been a casualty of suburban sprawl. Some has become too salty after years of irrigation. So research at UC Davis is more than ever focused on getting the most out of each bit of cultivated ground. It's meant a shift from the hands-on how-to farming classes to such disciplines as crop genetics. Professor David Gilchrist studies the genetic interactions between plants and the diseases or pathogens that attack them.
The long-term goal is certainly to engineer resistance or to change the plants in such a way that they no longer are hosts for the pathogens and therefore no longer susceptible to the disease.
Genetically engineered organisms are undeniably controversial. Some scientists and consumers are worried they could be dangerous. But controversy has always gone hand in hand with California agriculture. Growers have been blamed for wasting water and decimating fish populations, accused of poisoning wildlife with pesticides, and condemned for exploiting farm workers. Finding a way of farming that is kinder to the land and the people who work it is the mission of the University of California Sustainable Agriculture Program, headquartered at Davis. Sean Sweezy is the program's director.
We have encountered environmental limits to what we can do. We've encountered tremendous competition for the very resources that agriculture needs by a very fast-growing population. And I think that to overcome those issues is going to require a partnership vision that preserves agriculture and changes some of these basic approaches that we've had.
The challenge is to ground that vision in science. And there is some urgency to do so. For example, a pesticide integral to the strawberry industry will be banned in 4 years. So Sweezy is currently running a test at a large commercial strawberry field to see if bugs can be controlled without chemicals. He wants to lure them away from the berries by putting plants that are tastier, to the bugs at least, at the edges of the field.
The research base for these kinds of practices is still really rather limited. And we need to build a body of knowledge.
One body of knowledge among many at the UC Davis College of Agriculture, designed to make sure that California keeps feeding the nation, one way or another. Ina Jaffe, NPR News, Davis, California.